Welcome to Creating Cash Flow for July 20th, 2025. Cora,
Hi.
ready? So
Yeah, I'm
hi.
here.
I am going to read this because I think it's really relevant, your question. I think a lot of people will feel it and are in the same boat in terms of mindset and in terms of what's going on necessarily. So Cora is a cash flow cat. She has a side business coding by Cora, but she has her focus has been on applying to jobs. So she says, "I'm mostly reaching out because I'm feeling incredibly lost right now. I've been applying to a ton of executive assistant roles, even some where I had some internal recommendations, and still I'm not even landing interviews. I have 7+ years of executive assistant experience, mostly with smaller companies, but solid experience nonetheless. I've made sure my resume is optimized for ATS, and while that has helped little, the rejections still keep coming. It's just disheartening. That other opportunity I mentioned on the Mighty Forum in the Abundance Bound Forum came back with an even lower rate than expected. I countered by offering part-time contract work at $32 an hour to match their budget, but I haven't heard back, so I'm moving on. I did get an interview, woohoo, victory, with a legal firm that offered exactly the pay and benefits I wanted. It was remote and the role was intake, something I haven't done before. They got back to me saying that they liked me, but due to internal restructuring, they don't currently have the bandwidth to hire or train someone. They might revisit the role in a few weeks, so I plan to follow up next week. I'm even thinking of putting together a small proposal showing what kinds of responses I'd give as an intake person, along with ideas to improve conversion from intake to consultation. Someone recently told me, you've got to show them why you're right for the role, even if it means doing some work up front. And that stuck with me. Letting someone in. The truth is, I'm exhausted. It's been 2.5 years of trying so hard to get stable work, and I still haven't landed a job. I keep wondering, am I wasting my time? Should I just ask for more shifts, waiting tables, give up on the job search, and fully focus on building my acting career, like getting agents across the country, making my own content, maybe even getting, like trying to get UGC money or whatever that current content money is from other sources. I'm not sure what you mean, but somebody to pay a content creator. Or should I focus on building my web development business instead? A friend recently showed me this simple strategy. Go on Google, find local businesses without websites and offer them to build one. He's been doing really well with doing that. It's direct, it's hyper local, it's effective. I love the idea and thought maybe I need to double down on that. My gut says I should give job applications until the end of August, and if nothing hits, shift all of my energy towards building something on my own, because trying to find a job seems like a waste of time. Anyway, I just needed to say this out loud. I get it. So thank you for saying that out loud, Cora.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm
Yeah,
not on video.
that's fine. Yeah, I feel your frustration, and
Thank you.
let's kind of pull this apart a little bit. It is really frustrating when you have the skills, you have the desire, you're like, I'm ready, please employ me, I will work for you. And it's just really, really hard to get traction. And it's not to say that every single person is having the same experience in the times we're living in, but we are at the moment going through a time where a lot of people are losing their jobs. Some companies are pulling back on, the people they're employing. And so it's sort of a buyer's market rather than a you, the person selling yourself, market right now. So what it takes to not get demoralized in these circumstances is to shift your perspective of, okay, this is what's actually going on, and then this can be my response to that. And it might not be what I thought it was going to be or what it's been for people in the past. We are genuinely living in a new era on so many fronts. And none of us, including people who have like established businesses, it's rocking everyone. So there's very few people who are just going through 2025 business as usual without having to think about new ways of doing client acquisition or service delivery. So this is a big time of upheaval for everyone. That's not to say like everyone's feeling bad, so you shouldn't feel as bad. I'm just saying, I'm just
Thank you.
the picture and getting really realistic about what we're working with here. I think part of so shifting the perspective around, okay, this is going to happen slightly differently than maybe it has in the past or that I expected it to. So with that different perspective, then we can shift the expectations. And I think part of what gets demoralizing is when we're doing one thing. I am looking for a job and I'm putting all of my effort towards getting a job. It's not a bad strategy. And that's a good strategy sometimes for some people in some cases. Like it's not a bad strategy, but if you've done that for a while and it's just not working, then maybe there's a shift to the strategy of we need to have different approaches going simultaneously so that maybe one of them will hit rather than like, I keep doing this and I keep doing this. And then I'm going to like keep doing this until August. And then if I don't get it, I'm going to completely put it aside, focus on something else. And it's like, oh, but maybe in September, something, you'll find something. So maybe the experiment is okay. I have four possibilities of income. You have your business where you could try that do offering websites for brick and mortar businesses. That is a strategy that's been around as long as websites have been around. It definitely does work. You just have to find the businesses that are like, oh yeah, okay, can you just do make that happen for me? So that you have like, let me see if I can find clients for this. Let me see if I can keep applying for jobs. Let me see if I want to pick up extra shifts as a waiter. And let me see what I can do with my acting career. Now, I am not saying you're doing all of those every day. I'm not even saying you're doing all of those every week. But every month, maybe you spend 3 days out of that month just doing the job application stuff. You're like, I'm just going to throw my hat in the ring with what I can find at 3 different days throughout a month. And that is what I'm going to do. But at least I'm still throwing my hat in that ring just in case. And I'm still letting you know, people I know that I am open to possibly working at a job. And then maybe if you need cash flow right now, yeah, you pick up a few extra shifts as a waiter. I mean, you just have to pay the rent by any means necessary, you know? And then you ask yourself, okay, each month from here on out, July, August, September, October, November, December, let's just look at like the rest of this year. You're going to spend, this isn't a prescription. I'm just suggesting it could look like this. The metrics can change, but okay, from these rest of the months for this year, the next 6 months, I'm going to spend 3 to 5 days a month with the job application thing. I'm also going to decide at the beginning of each month what are 3 to 5 actions that I can take that could help my acting career. So maybe it is, I'm going to see if I can get an agent in Atlanta. And I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this for the acting career. And then I'm going to spend a certain amount of days in the course of a month reaching out to businesses and see if I can land a client for that.
Love it.
Because right now, where you sit right now, there's no momentum in the new client department for your business. This isn't a moral failing. I'm just saying, there's not a lot of momentum with private clients. There's not a lot of momentum with the acting, and there's not a lot of momentum with the job search. So I would be inclined to say, keep going on all three of those potentials and see what hits. See where the momentum hits for you. Oh, I got a job. Great. Okay, now we can rejigger the month. Or, oh, I did get an agent in Atlanta and one in Seattle, and suddenly I'm kind of auditioning there. There seems to be some momentum, so I'll put a little more focus towards that. Or, oh, I got a client for the website, did that. They were happy. They referred me to somebody else, and I kept reaching out, and these clients are now popping up. That is where I should put my attention. But right now, we don't know where you should put your attention because nothing is really popping yet. Does that make sense?
So incredibly helpful because it's like, I've heard them better to just focus on one thing. And at this point, it's technically the definition of crazy. So, thank you for this. It gives me more confidence too.
Good. And it gives you hopefully also more agency. Like, I'm taking action in these three. There's a lot of action that you can take. And you don't have to take all of it every month, but as long as you're, and then you get to decide, depending on what the feedback happens and what happens, oh, I'm going to give this much to the job, this percentage to the job search, this percentage to acting, this percentage to looking for clients for the other business, and then I'm going to wait tables. But then if the acting sort of starts crackling, oh, we can widen the percentage that I'm giving to that and narrow the percentage down, and you just keep adjusting.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and I think that we have to be nimble these days. We have to keep trying things. In my own business, I'm trying different things and then making adjustments based on what's happening. And some things are working and some things aren't working. And I just had a meeting today where Kate and I were brainstorming on, like, okay, well, maybe if we tried doing it this way instead of this way, so we're going to try that. And but we don't know. We have to, Kate's like, you don't know if it's going to work or not. You just have to try it. And I'm like, okay, fair point. So. She was said that in response because I think she could just hear a little frustration in my voice, a little disappointment about, it's not, these are the times we live in. And why I'm so happy, Cora, that you brought this question here is because it is so easy in these times that we live in to get disappointed and to get frustrated because we are trying so hard just do the thing we want to do and make a living. And it's hard. And so we need people in our lives that we can bounce ideas or strategies off of that can offer a different perspective to how we're feeling in the moment. So Kate was able to balance me out today, and then I'm able to do that for you, and you'll be able to do that for somebody else too down the road. You'll pay all of this forward, I have no doubt. But what is really demoralizing and really chips away at your spirit is if you do all of this in isolation. Because then it's just like,
Yeah, I've been thinking that. I'm like, I think I need to come more. And this has been a great way for me to be able to do that is to say, hey, could you get my question at the top because I have work. So thank you for doing that.
You're doing.
And yeah, I'll come more so that I can just have a place to breathe and get perspective. So thank you.
You're welcome. And you're not doing anything wrong. And this result isn't for lack of effort or lack of skill set. It's just the times. It's the times.
Yeah.
But we still are here. And so we still have to meet the moment. It just takes, resilience and pivoting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you.
Doesn't matter where the money comes in. It doesn't matter if the money for your rent comes from waiting tables. That is not a moral failing. It doesn't mean your acting career is failing. It just means it's 2025 and this is new times. And I'm happy that I have something I can do for money right now. And that happens to be
True.
waiting tables. So, yay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, that's also very comforting. You must have felt that sudden, like, bit of shame going on
Are
for
you
me.
kidding me? I was an actor who worked
Oh,
at a Xerox coffee store making copies.
that's
People and I had to keep reminding myself, no, I am an actor who happens to be working in a Xerox store. I am not a Xerox store employee who really wish
right.
an actor. It's like, no, I am, this is temporary.
Yes, thank
Yeah.
you. I
Yeah, you're
appreciate
welcome.
that.
Thank you. Thank you for your candor. Have a good work shift.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Dorothy. Oh, yeah, Dorothy.
Hello. Hey, I jumped out. I was like, I have something to update. So last time, I was asking you about, the conversation, for directing a show at this middle school because I'm, they last time I did it, there was kind of a lot of hours that didn't end up compensating what I felt was appropriate for my time. And that was like years ago too. So I finally had the conversation with her about what exactly it would require and what they had or the budget. And she was a little taken aback by the number that I gave her. And I was like, I said, look, if that's not a number you can do, here is option B, is that you get me for half that time that you're asking for.
Oh
She's
yeah,
like, what? And I
Dorothy.
was like, yeah, I mean, there's certain things we will not be doing. We will not be double casting. I will not be, in charge of the crew. I will be directing the show and mentoring these kids into their best performance. But I'm not lifting a hammer. I'm not, there's a certain amount that this is, I know what my time is worth. And I'm but and so here is my compromise to you. It ends up being I end up now I have a day free in my week. And I'm like, what is this life? And because that's what I said. I'm like, if this is, she's like, this is the number I can do. I was like, all right, then we'll just have rehearsals on Thursdays. I won't be there for load in. I'll help you with the cutie. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
and so, yes. And so it ended up like, even though the money total that I would budget for the, if I was doing it the first way would have been
Right.
more, it also would have been more time and a whole other day that I would have had to like schedule around. And I don't have to do that anymore.
Just like gold stars, just a ring of gold stars. You did the perfect negotiation of like, oh, this is your budget. Well, this is what we'll take away from that first proposal. I'll meet your budget. You just don't get all the stuff. That's a negotiation for everybody listening. That's a negotiation thing where it's like you still will do the job at their price, but they get less. When I think a lot of people just think, oh, I guess negotiating means I deliver everything, but just for a less price. It's like, no, you deliver half the stuff for half the price. Yeah. Oh, so well done. Well
Thank
played.
you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it because like
You
I had to come in to the last session and be like, what the heck am I supposed to say? And it gave me that bag of like, I do it is a reasonable rate. It is a re for my the amount of time that I'm putting into this. I don't need to go lower. They just have to, adjust to this rate. That was the other mindset thing. It's like once I figured out the rate I wasn't willing to go against, that was kind of like, oh, and now I know to keep myself accountable for the hours that I'm putting in to know, like, okay, I'm starting to kind of overdue for this project. What are they actually paying for? So,
Big, oh my gosh. We just
right.
pause for a minute and reiterate that. Last night at dinner, I had this exact conversation with a wonderful artist friend of mine, and she loves doing her art, but she wants to make more money from it. I'm like, what you're doing is you're delivering this thing for this amount of money, but no one's asking you for this. You're doing this because you love it. But it's exhausting you, and it means you're getting like pennies for your time. So you have to watch yourself and dial yourself back. And what I was saying to her is there is a difference between doing your art for the sake of the art and doing your art in the realm of commerce. And she was trying to just be able to do her art to her joy and satisfaction. And then charge a going rate for it. I'm like, well, this is why you're feeling the way you're feeling. So if this is the going rate for what you're offering, you have to shrink your deliverables so that it, but the providing of those deliverables are going to feel different to her. And you're going to have to then process your feelings of like, well, this isn't like the big gigantic joy I get out of doing it my way. And I'm like, yeah, that's because you've turned it into a business thing. Once you do commerce, there's certain restrictions so that you can have profit. Do your art in the way you want to do your art. Don't think that that is necessarily the way you'll be able to make a profit with it. So there'll be a compromise. And then her issue was she was unwilling to process the feelings around delivering a smaller kind of version. Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
No, I got that. But it's just really, really great. It's like, right, this is what you're paying for, and this is what you'll get. It will be high quality. It just
Oh,
will
for sure.
be this and nothing more. And you know what I love is that you are aware that you have to hold yourself back. And when you care about the kids and you're a big-hearted person and you love doing the thing you're doing, it's so easy to overdeliver.
Oh, 100%. One thing I did because I got that consulting job earlier this year, and so I really like thought about the hours that they were paying for per week, per month, all that sort of thing. And in my calendar, I do everything color coded, and I started putting in my calendar per month work hours out, which are outside of what the rehearsal were, and that helped me keep tabs on when I was just like bleeding work into other things. And yeah, like there were hours I could move around, but I just put them in there and they were in color so I could see what I was doing. And
Yeah.
that was very helpful. So I'm going to be instituting that as well.
Yes. And that's why the little tool, my weekly planning chart, which is free, Kate will put a link in the chat. It's a visual of your time and your week, 'cause oftentimes we try to just keep it all up in our head and it's a little vague. We have a calendar for appointments, but it's not like a visual thing like you did with the color of like, oh, now I actually really see where my time is going. Dorothy, thank you for gracing us with your five-star goodness.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Denise. Are you
Hi,
there?
can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yay! Normally it takes a good 5 minutes before. So hi, I wanted to check in, and I really appreciate, the exchange between you and Dorothy. I can relate to a lot of that. Sharing from a place of love and giving a lot. I totally get that. I'm driving, so forgive me for not having the camera. I think it
No worries.
stopped. So I wanted to briefly check in and just touch on a couple of things that are coming up, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, that's cool. Give us the update.
Wait. Oh, okay. You can hear me. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, I need to just kind of accountability wise. I did think, first of all, thank you for the information. Thank you so much, Kate, for taking the time to send all the information that you sent. I was not able to go through everything, but I was able to look at a couple of things, and there's some work to be done. So I'm excited to start that. It's the
Great.
process. And I think, some of the things that, so there's a big kind of question mark, around everything, around kind of where I want to go, what I want to be doing, where I'm going. And I think as I research, the more that I research, I'll get more clarity. One of the things that has come up for me is the notion of giving up storytelling. If I'm connected to it strongly enough to carry it with me, if I go someplace that's not an English speaking country, how that will change storytelling. If it's like I want to be writing and acting and stuff, and so that's one of the things that popped up for me. Another thing that popped up for me is over the course of the year, I applied to business school. To Berkeley. And it was a process. It was one of the more difficult things I've done recently. I did not get accepted, and I believe, and I was not attached to getting accepted. I believe I did not get accepted because my why was not strong enough. I was really doing it because I was like, I have to do something. And I have interests in like climate solutions. And I know that they had a concurrent master's program with the other department where you could do that, but I didn't end up applying because it's not remote. So I think that there is kind of some fear, concern about the part of me that is the storytelling part of me, not necessarily the actor's part, but the storytelling part of me, not being strong enough to sustain if I make this huge move. And I think there's the big question mark of like, okay, well, if that's the case, it doesn't necessarily have to be. What do I want to be? Like, I'm hearing you coach around a restricting job market, and I don't even know what job I want to have. So, again, I feel like I will get clarity as I do more research about what feels right, what looks good, what sounds good. But that's kind of, I just wanted to kind of touch in on that and really commit to a certain, I have to like put in my schedule each week the amount that I'm going to work on it. If I make any progress, if I am to make any progress on it, instead of just talking about it.
Can you elaborate? Just tell me a little bit more about what you mean by you're afraid your storytelling is your or your attachment to your storytelling is not going to be strong enough, or what did you mean by that? All those words strung together.
Yeah, so I have like, a screenplay or two that I want to finish, story ideas that I'm like, before I die, these must be done. And I don't know if they're strong enough to sustain a major transition, which makes me sad. They might be, they might not be, I don't know. I don't know if I'm disciplined enough to bring them over to whatever next phase with me. And if I go someplace where people are not native English speakers, I just see like that could be hard. if I want to just like put something down on film and nobody speaks English, and there's not like a huge kind of English speaking community.
Well, maybe look into places where there is a big expat community. Kate, tell her that little story you told me earlier. You were listening to a podcast, The Move Abroad Coach, and she had someone tell that story.
Yes. Denise, I think you would love this. It's one of the episodes of the podcast I sent you a link to, which is the Move Abroad Coach.
Yes.
And it's a guy who moved to Tbilisi, Georgia, where the requirements are very low to move there and get residency. English speaker, no second language, does not speak Georgian or Russian. He started a children's theater program
Oh, wow.
in the expat community of English speakers there in Tbilisi. He's only been there 6 weeks. He's like 3 weeks into the first semester with these kids. He's starting to get interest from the Russian and Georgian parents to put their kids into an arts program that will improve their English and also get them cross-cultural friends.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, this is just like something like who would have thought? But I have friends who live in other parts of Europe, and expat communities on Facebook are readily accessible. Internet is your friend. But listen to that podcast because I think you'll find that inspiring.
Okay, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah. And you're right on track in that this is all about exploration. You have, yes, when I say, when I say there's a contracting job market, because a lot of people are being laid off, government, different thing. I'm talking like for regular jobs, jobs that used to be kind of easy to pick up, especially for artists in between employment. It's like, oh, we'll just go get a job. Well, people are actually like needing those jobs, and there aren't enough of them for the amount of people being unemployed. That's what I'm talking about, like just kind of the regular get a job. But in your case, when you're sort of envisioning, like, what do I actually want to do next in this next chapter? And I might not even want to do it here, but I want to do it somewhere else. Just keep in mind that there are jobs that you don't even know exist. You might be like, oh my God, this is like perfect for me. And I had no idea it exists. I had no idea organizing would exist, that someone would pay me money to move their stuff, because it was before Google, so I couldn't even search for it. It was like, this exists? Oh, so sign me up. And I never knew I was going to be a coach. I thought I was going to be an actor, organizer, and then coaching kind of
And an
came.
excellent one at that.
Well, thank you so much, but you don't know what is out there for you. So the best thing you can do right now is approach it with just a ton of curiosity.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I think that there are so many things that are intertwined at this point because one of the thoughts that I've had last week, I don't know if you remember, I shared that I got my astrocartography done and
Yes.
like this is very inauspicious. Like LA is really inauspicious for me. Like probably like one of the most inauspicious places I could be. So I was like, okay, but you have to make sure to distinguish your bad habits from inauspiciousness, right? Meaning, I'm not going to go someplace else and poof, everything's going to work out. Like, you got to get on your game, and I'm not on my game, right? So, like, for example, I am open to reapplying to business school. I'm not ruling that out. They have like a meeting where you can meet with them and they could tell you basically why they didn't pick you, essentially. So it's not closed off. I would like to create possibilities. I feel very drawn to storytelling, to being a
Mm-hmm.
storyteller. So I guess if it's strong enough, it will not die. Do you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think what really kind of needs to happen is the structure is really my friend right now. Do you know? I'm kind of feeling like I'm in a free fall and needing to figure things out and kind of out here on my own. I think will be drastically impacted by just structure and boundaries that and discipline. It's really going to require discipline. I think I've been so used to trying really hard at things and them not, for whatever reason, like developing the way that I've wanted, that I almost like I kind of have been slacking on like working hard and work ethic are two different things. So I think I've been really good at working hard, but I think the kind of like structure and discipline aspect have like eroded, you know, over time. So I think when that comes back into play, I will, you know, I'll have a lot more clarity. But there needs to be a foundation that's strong enough to support something like this.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. I also think that you can write from anywhere in the world and
Yeah.
meet somebody over there that brings you back over here for the right, like the you have to give it over to the universe of like, I'm just gonna write this stuff and it's up to you
Yes. Yeah.
how it's
Yeah.
supposed to live in the world. And have you thought about if you're sort of thinking about applying to business school and paying for such a big
Yeah.
expense like that
Yeah.
of applying to a business school in another country?
Right. I think that's a really good idea because I did not mention that, but business school was going to cost $100,000. And I think that was part of it for me too. I was like, I don't even know at the end of the day that this would really help me. And then I'm going to go into debt $100,000, you
Yeah,
know?
in
So I think that's,
2025.
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that was a big, I think, part of me being a little ambivalent about it.
Yeah. What
Yeah, I
if
mean, I think you're right. I think that, you know, there was an actor that I knew over the years who, like, you know, he just nothing really stood out, you know, he just wasn't really, there wasn't traction. He left and went back home to, I think, like Georgia or Tennessee, and he blossomed. And now he's like, you know, doing all, he has to be flown over here because he found who he was. He found his voice, he found his type. And I'm not even saying like so much about acting as much as just like, you know, this was this person coming into his own, like stepping away and coming into his own. So I
Yeah.
think that there is some of that for me. And you don't know, like you said, you just don't know what's out there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, what if you took, a couple days and just started researching what kind of like continuing education you could get in other countries that might want people from the US or from other countries to come over and study there? I mean, there might be programs you could slip into that would give you exposure to another country for a few years as you started. And I'm not even talking about business. What if it was something artistic? Who knows? I don't know what's out there.
Yeah.
What was your hand?
Me? Yeah, I just, while you were talking, Denise, I just did a quick Google. I'm going to recommend you spend an hour a week just Googling all these dreams of yours. But I just did a quick Google. What is the cost of a master's degree in Europe? The cost varies significantly, ranging from free in some countries and for some students to upwards of 20,000 euros per year for international students
Wow.
in other countries.
Yeah.
Free or very low cost.
Yeah.
Germany public universities offer tuition-free master's degree for both EU and international students. Norway, higher education is free for all students regardless of nationality. And it goes on. So
Wow.
you got options.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good to hear. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
excited for you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate your guys' excitement because hopefully I'll get there. Because, last week, Christine, you were talking about it's not the reason why it's not something I'm like super excited about is because I haven't, it's not real for me yet. And then, Kate, you doing this, you quickly doing this Google search and coming up with all this information because like you're open to the possibility.
Huh?
It's time to step into it. Time to step into the possibility.
And I think that that's really what you said is really important because there's this alignment that has to happen.
Yes.
You can have the greatest strategic plan in the world, and if you are out of alignment with it, it won't work. It won't work. You might as well not even.
No, you're absolutely right. And so that's mindset work because I think I feel so out of alignment with my environment. Like I feel out of my element. So you're catching me at kind of like the end of me being out of my element, which feels like I have to fight the dragon. It's nothing in particular. It's literally just the energy of the city for me. So it's like I have to work on my mindset and shift it around being here.
And also keep in mind that you can do this in stages. You could move out of Los Angeles in the US, just out of Los Angeles, and then move somewhere else. It's not like you have
Yes.
to go from LA to somewhere else. So if you're really feeling like, gosh, this is not the place for me to be while I envision and start creating what's next, maybe that's the first shift that could happen.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point.
And thinking through like all the people you know, all the resources you have, is there somebody who has, a room that you could be in for a couple days somewhere else in the country where you could just like take a little mini retreat
Yep.
and
Yep.
allow
Yep.
yourself to be in a different environment
Yeah.
and Google?
I love that suggestion. I was because I had been thinking along. That's an even better suggestion. I had been thinking along the lines of doing a workshop in one of these places because then I could meet. You know what I mean? It would be contained to where I could meet people possibly. Like in this environment. But I like your idea a lot.
There's so what I think Kate and I are really trying to impress upon you is there's so many ways to do this. There's not one path.
Yeah.
And you're not going to figure it out. You're going to discover it.
Yeah.
You're going to have to just start. And then you're going to follow the breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
You don't get to see all of the breadcrumbs. You get to see the first breadcrumb, and then you follow that breadcrumb, and then the second breadcrumb will appear, and then you follow that breadcrumb. And that's how we move along.
Yeah. I am literally taking improv at the Groundlings and UCB right now, partially because they've been on my bucket list, and I'm like, I'm not going to be here this much longer, but also largely for spontaneity and just to be able to be like, I don't have it planned. It's not controlled. I can't. It's not something I'm controlling. Like, because that part, I'm a double Taurus. That's really, really, really big in me.
Hunker down.
Yeah. So that all, and it feels very much like I'm doing it for life, as opposed to like my agent told me to do it. But yeah, I mean, there is a certain amount of, it's like this balance of between letting it go and being purposeful, like I might not have every single bit, all together and planned out and perfect.
It's giving yourself a container and then allowing yourself to be free within the container. It's like you're on a plane, but now you're free to move about the cabin. You've got an exciting life ahead of you because you have this desire.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I think the I'm really excited for the part where I believe that. Because right now it feels like I've been here for forever and like I've soaked in the energy, which feels so oppressive. And like, I feel like I'm trying to lift my head up. And I feel like maybe it just wasn't meant to be that I was supposed to live a life of greatness, you know, and it's just going the way that it's supposed to have been going. And I'm not meant to do anything great or be great or make great contributions or have meaningful, like amazing connections. Like maybe I'm just not one of those people. So I think the freedom and the power will come when I'm able to shift my mindset from that place.
That's very vulnerable for you to share, and I really appreciate you inviting us into your heart like that. Thank you. And my response to that is we often get what we want, and you've heard this before, but stick with me. We often get what we want, or our path forward is revealed when we surrender to not wanting it, but even more so, just not needing it to look like we thought it was going to look like.
Yeah.
And the thing of what I know for 100% sure about the era that we're in now is what is not possible is to look backwards and go, oh, look at that person. I want a career like that person. Oh, that doesn't exist anymore. The infrastructure and stuff that helped people have certain careers and get to certain levels doesn't exist, is being dismantled. Is it's so going, oh, I thought it was going to look like this. No, it's not. But
Yeah.
it's going to look in a way where you can't actually imagine it right now because you don't know.
Yeah.
So you have this, all you know is your soul is like, I am here and I want greatness and it would be so amazing. And I feel like I could handle it. Like I just feel like I'm here this time on earth for something big. I don't know what, you know, that's what you know is your soul is telling you this. And so your challenge now is to be like, okay, and I have no idea what that's going to look like. And I have no idea what it even means. And I'm letting go of my past thoughts about what that's going to even look like. I'm
Yeah.
willing to be surprised, but I'm also willing to not lose the opinion that it is possible.
Yeah.
I'm
Life doesn't owe me anything. Like, it really doesn't.
It doesn't.
Like, I tried to leave LA 12 years ago. I couldn't even do that. Like, I literally was like, bye, LA. Went back east. Couldn't. Came back. But life doesn't owe me anything. I'm not entitled to anything. But I am able to hold a vision and act accordingly. I mean, I do have that right.
Yeah, you have the right and you have the ability. And it is very true to have it is there are a lot of people who have had big visions and big desires and big talents, and they just weren't able to do it in life. My sister was one of those people. She was a remarkable musician. She was very prolific and very talented. And she died at 46 after 20
I'm sorry.
of a chronic illness that even took away her ability to play the guitar. So it was just like a life that just didn't feel like it was ever truly able to be lived. And it's important to hold things like that, of like, yeah, we're not guaranteed anything and we're not owed anything. But while you are able to have agency and go for things, go for them. Go for them. And oh, there was something else I wanted to say. But this is really, I think, a this new chapter of you really kind of surrendering. And through that surrendering, you will start to be led. Yeah. It sounds like you really have all the things you need. It's like Dorothy with the slippers. You have the shoes. It's just about knowing how to click those heels together.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the action becomes informed by the trust, and that's what I have not granted, and that's why that's a, you know, I think the main reason why I'm taking two improv classes right now. I'm like, I need to surrender. It's like, well, just surrender, you know. Somebody tell me how to surrender. Surrender.
Kate, go, and then I have something else.
You just said the action is informed by the trust, and a little bit earlier you said, once I can believe it, then I can move forward. And I just wanted to kind of check in if that's really true. Or
No, it's not. I mean, it's, you know, no, nothing is true, right?
then maybe the action will then inform the belief. It
Yeah.
might be worth an experiment.
I like that. Thank you for pointing that out.
So there's two books that I'd like you to investigate.
Okay.
One is Radical Acceptance by Tara Brach. I never know what her last name is. I always want to say Branch, but it's not Branch, but it's Brachc.
There's no N. Brachc.
Brachc. Kate will put that in the. And then the other one is, I believe it's The Awakened Woman by Dr. Tara Rye Trent.
Oh, nice.
Read that one first. You'll know why once you start to read it. Her story is just fucking phenomenal. And then Radical Acceptance will also help you with the surrender journey.
Okay, wonderful.
And you can
It's
get those.
radical acceptance.
Yeah, you can get those at the library.
It's funny because I'm outside of the library right now.
See the magic? See the universe just being like, we're right here. We are right here for you, Denise.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Radical acceptance. And I'm sorry, can you tell me the second one more time?
It's Kate, is it an
It's in the
awakened?
chat, The Awakened
Okay.
Woman.
Okay.
The Awakened Woman.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Tara Rye Trent.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you
There's
so
more.
much. Thank you both of you. I really appreciate your listening and your support.
Keep checking in.
Yeah, for sure.
How the
Thank
story
you.
continues.
Wonderful. Yeah, this is just wonderful wisdom. So thank you.
Great. Who's next? If anyone's new, by the way, I didn't do my hi, I'm Christine Aller. I created the Creating Cash Flow program inside Abundance Bound. I also coach a lot of the money mindset calls that we have once a month. Kate London is the Ask Kate in our Abundance Bound community group, and she is my right hand, and she helps me out as well. So, yeah. What's up, guys? How can we create some money?
May I?
Yes, I see a hand. Hi, Lydia.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Okay, so a few updates.
Yes.
Update number one, in the last time I did a play, it was amazing and it was a lot of fun and it got me out of the house and it showed me how much I thrive being out of the house. And how much I need like that in-person people connection. It really, really helped my mental health. I also booked a commercial, booked another VO job, and then started another like audio series for that company that I worked for.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, just kind of fell
Cool.
back into my lap. And then on top of all that, because I really realize that I thank you, Ashley. Like thrive being in person. A friend of mine got hired at a restaurant, and I haven't worked in restaurants for forever. But the way that she talked about it, I was like, that actually sounds like a really cool place to work. I said, you know, I have she knows me very well, so I was like, I haven't worked in a restaurant for a while. Do you think they'd take me? And she said, yes. And so then I got hired there. So I'm working a few days a week at this place. And it, like, as far as restaurants go, like, great group of people, money's decent. Like, it's in the Descanso Gardens.
Oh, no.
My two of my friends, one of whom we share, like, Jonte works there too. So, like, I get to be with Jonte and Katie, and like, it's great.
Oh.
And I really do thrive, like, being out of the house just a couple days a week. It makes all the other things just like fall back in place. It's fascinating. So I bring up this last piece between the restaurant 3 days a week and then the audio company that I do the like series version of audiobooks. Like, I'm earning what I need now. Like, it has me right side up.
Congratulations. That's huge.
Yeah, it feels really good.
Yeah.
Before that, I had signed up. I was meeting with one of the career counselors at the Entertainment Community Fund and like going through their whole series on like finding support jobs. Obviously, I was here. We were talking through. I had turned in some really cool applications. And a big part of like what I was looking for in support jobs was like working from home, flexible schedule in that way. And now that I did that play, and now that I'm back at the restaurant, I'm going, oh, even if I got a job that was full-time from home, like, yes, that would technically support the pursuit of acting and voiceover. I don't think it would make me happy. And so I'm curious what you think, like, while I'm stable at the moment, does it make sense to continue looking into more long-term support jobs? Or do I redirect the energy that's now being taken care of by the restaurant? And by the audio series, do I take that energy and put it into marketing, into, I also have lots of other auditions that go on too. So it's like, do I take that search off my plate now? Yeah.
Yeah, I think if I were in your shoes, that I would take the job search off my plate and put the energy towards the acting stuff and marketing, getting more work in that area. And I say that for you because you have a history of making money from your craft. And you now have this support job that combined is like doing you well. So you don't need more support jobs than you need. The support job is there to fill that gap, to pay that rent, so that as a creative person, you can be like, okay, so now I'm going to take that little extra energy I have and put it towards trying to get more of the jobs that I really, truly want in my life. And if the restaurant started like taking shifts away or it got a little weird, then you put some more, then you dial down the marketing towards the artistic jobs, and you just dial up a job search for something different.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you. No, it's been a very exciting few months. And yeah, it feels really good.
And notice like that job at the restaurant, it kind of found its way to you.
It did.
You were open, you were looking for stuff, but it was just like, oh, look, something that kind of fit me really well came into my life, right thing for the right time. So I say that for everybody. There are things out there that are good fits. And sometimes you're not even like, I wasn't even aware I wanted a restaurant job, but now, oh my God, it's like scratching an itch that I have. It's like, just be open.
Yeah.
And even though when I say we have to be realistic about the contraction that's happening in the job market, that doesn't mean your job's not out there. It just might mean it'll take longer to find it. It just might mean it'll take like going through a back door or side window rather than the front gate. Like it just means there's some differences than to
Yeah.
the normal, regular way we job search and get jobs. But it doesn't mean they're not out there. And like for Denise, it doesn't mean that the career you're going to have for the next couple of years is even something you can imagine right now. But it'll find you if you start to look for it. It'll meet you halfway.
Which is how I got into voiceover in the first place. I didn't even think about it. It just kind of started falling into place. And then I worked really hard in it. But,
Yeah.
like, yeah.
Yeah.
May I ask one more question?
Yes.
It's slightly more mindset.
Yeah.
How do I cultivate patience as I'm trusting, like, that I'm doing the work? Most specifically, I'm very passionate about getting like one of the top six VO agencies, and you know, I'm getting great feedback from their people. I've had referrals. It's just nothing quite has stuck yet. And like, I'm so excited, I can feel it, but it also feels like I'm gripping super hard and like, I want it! And I know that that's not great energy for making things actually come to you. So, how do I like cultivate the patience to trust that I'm doing the things to make it happen? And now trust that the universe is going to find the right time, which is, I think, a phrase you had given me in a previous call.
Sounds familiar. I am definitely a person who is against the idea of like, I'm gonna sit on my couch and just manifest the thing I want. Like, that is not, but I'm very, very for and believe in the idea that the action shifts the energy and it works then with the trust that that the universe is working in concert with you. Like, I'm big on believing that. So there's a few things that you can start doing now. Cultivating patience is a practice. So it's something you do every day. You set the intention of like, okay, I love it. I have more money than I need to get myself through today, so I can relax into what I have to do today or what I've chosen to do. And I'm gonna, do this dance with the universe today. So it's a daily practice. And then your little brain is gonna run over to the familiar territory of like, oh, but what if? And your little lizard will come out. And so your job during the day is to like calm your lizard down and drag your brain back to where you would like it to be and focused on. And some days that'll be like a lot of dragging, and some days it'll be fine. So, one thing is this decision. You're just going to make a decision in life where I've decided that it's better, most likely, and I want this to happen in perfect timing rather than my timeline. Do you create the timelines? Sure, I do them all the time. And we can create timelines, when we're making a plan. Okay, well, like for the rest of the year, I'll do this, or from this month, I'll do... But truly, I want the things to happen in perfect timing. So it's like, ooh, yes, all the elements come together rather than on my timeline where I might feel too stressed for it, or it might come, but then overwhelm me and I'm not ready for it. Like, I want this to happen in perfect time.
Yeah.
Perfect timing, so that when something is scheduled and then it drops off my calendar or a client went away. I had to just trust, oh, but this is happening in perfect timing. That's not my nose is not in there. The universe is my secretary scheduling everything.
Oh, that's so
Kind of
cute.
blinded. That's what I used to tell myself. Well, I guess the universe is my secretary, and if something comes on my schedule and falls off my schedule, even though I really wanted it or needed it for the money, I just was like, nope, okay, I guess I'm trusting here. Sometimes trust is a little white knuckle. So you have to decide, do you want this on your timeline or do you want it in perfect timing? Another thing is to recognize the difference between wanting something. Oh, I want this to happen sooner rather than later. I have a desire for this thing to happen on this timeline, but I don't need it to. I want this job, but I don't need this job. I want this client, but I don't need it. And why needing it, I mean, to be happy, to have my life work out okay in the end. Or even sometimes to pay the rent, I need this client. It's like, well, maybe not, because if you get a client tomorrow, you actually don't need this client to pay the rent because you've got that client. But just relaxing on the idea that you need a certain thing to make it all work, even and allowing yourself to want it, that's totally fine. We are human beings and we want things. But patience is more easily cultivated as a texture in your life if you're like, oh, I want it, but I don't need it for the success of whatever. And I am willing to sacrifice what I think is the perfect timing for what the universe thinks is a perfect timing. I'm usually wrong anyway. I had some stuff scheduled for August, and Kate and I just today moved it to September. It was her suggestion, and the minute she said it, I'm like, oh my God, that makes perfect sense because then this ha can happen before then. And it was like, but in my head, it was like, I have to, I have to. I just was seeing it from like one perspective. But once I loosened that up, it was like, oh yeah, that makes better sense. Yeah. So that can help with the patience. And then taking your life out to a bigger perspective and a longer timeline helps with patience. It's like this is really about the texture of your life. And that texture is built kind of day to day over the long term. And so I have patience to kind of let that texture be like woven for my life. And sometimes I'm thinking of like I'm answering this question by going, what makes us impatient? And then going, well, then the opposite of that. Because one of the things that makes us impatient is like, this needs to happen now. Like, I need to be famous now. I'm not saying that's you, but like, I need to be famous now, or I need to be wealthy now, or I need to make this much now. It's like, now it's like, whoa, okay, that's just choking you. So pull back and think of the next 5 years as a plan rather than 6 months. If 6 months feels so tight, go to a year, go to 2 years, go to where you feel spacious. Because if you feel more spacious, there's room for patience. And here's the amazing thing. And here's why I would encourage someone to cultivate patience is when you give yourself patience and you have the texture of patience and you give yourself space, things happen faster. You want something to happen sooner? Give yourself more space. Give yourself a longer timeline. I'm speaking that you're still taking action. This is with action. We're talking about the alignment, magical part, trusting that goes paired with the action. But if you're taking the action within spaciousness, within patience, within trusting divine timing over your timeline, with a sense of curiosity, as we talked about with Denise, and all of that, and trust and dancing with the universe, but letting the universe lead the dance. I was like, oh, universe, I'll dance with you, but I would like to lead. That was me for a long, I mean, first of all, I was just dancing by myself. Then I included the universe, but I wanted to lead. And now I have let the universe lead the dance. Took a while to adjust to that. But that, in that space, things happen faster. So that was a long answer to your question, but did it sort of give you some grist?
100%. I
Okay,
wrote
good.
down so much.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. And it is one of the hardest things to get comfortable with for, I would say, the majority of people is when something's going well. Like, what, you're suspicious of it. You're like, this doesn't feel normal. Because normally, especially when you hit a part of life or part of your career where you've been working so hard for it, and then suddenly you're like, whoa, I booked that gig and I got that job, and now I have this restaurant thing, and I'm just off that plane. It feels good. Maybe I should look for another job. You know, it's like, no. Or you could just enjoy that it feels good. Take the win. Take the win and enjoy. It's just a chapter. It'll shift. And I'm not saying it'll get bad, but there's expansion, there's contraction, there's ups and downs. It's a roller coaster, but notice when things are okay. That's very important these days to notice when you're feeling even just a moment of joy in your life, or a moment of calm, or a moment of peace. We need all of those. So if you, Lydia, are in just this little lovely chapter right now where things are just humming along, enjoy the hum. Enjoy the hum. And because hum is where you fill up your energy tanks so that you have the energy to handle the next weird thing that life brings. Yeah. Yeah, good for you.
Thank you. Sorry, my puppy, after she decides, she's like, excuse me.
Yeah.
No, I love that. I know you love it too. Thank you.
Cool.
Go
Well,
tend to her needs.
Those are growls of approval. I'm taking them as growls of approval, so.
She very much approves, and she loves that I have more in Paradox Quiet, more in my coffers to buy her toys.
Yeah. Cool,
But
cool.
thank you. I loved all that, and I'm taking that with me, and so she.
Cool. Thank you, Lydia. We've got time if someone has a question, or we can be complete, whichever. Yes, Ileana. Hello again.
I just wanted to close the loop on, I think like 2 sessions ago when I came back, and say thank you for your guidance on structuring my conversation. I did the chat and I am very pleased with how it went, and I got my first client.
Yay! Oh, okay. So did you do the thing where like you took Q&A but then you didn't end on Q&A? Better, right?
Much better. There was like a Q&A in the middle and a Q&A at the end, and I heard your voice in my head, and so I didn't start by showing the software. I waited a long time before I showed the software, and we talked conceptually about how it worked first so that I didn't get too in the weeds with it too quickly, and I was really happy with it.
Oh, nice. And when you were talking about this is what I do for clients, and you were like nice and smooth on that part too, and it didn't feel all like, no, now I'm talking about price.
Yeah, it felt smooth, and I made sure to put that part before the last Q&A, so it was like before, and then people had follow-up questions about like, well, what does it look like? And I could answer the questions, and so everything you said really, really helped. So I just wanted to.
Oh, that makes me so happy because I do really think that I'm really good at structuring a talk. And when I see somebody be like, oh, yeah, that's good. Okay, yeah, it works. Yay. Oh, and congratulations on the client.
Yeah, I'll be back to see more about how it might work, but I was surprised to find myself so passionate about that subject, and so I'm like newly sniffing around, like maybe I try to work at that company, or maybe I don't know. It's fun to have more little cash flow adventures. And so just wanted to say thank you.
You're very welcome. And I just love that you have an astounding openness to how you earn your income. It's like, I could do it this way. I could do it this way. I could work for a company or I could work for myself. I could do this. It's like, ooh, and that is going to serve you so well moving forward of just like, ooh, okay, it's all possibility. It's all opportunity. It all feeds into itself. And going in one direction for a minute doesn't mean you're abandoning. That is such old language of like, you have to pick one or you're not a true artist. New era, by any means necessary. Let's be nimble and pivot and have multiple irons in the fire.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good job. Thank you. Karen Eileen.
Hello. Can I be
Hello.
heard? Can I be heard okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Hi. So I would like a teeny little refresher. You have talked to me about this before, and I was in a situation where I needed it, but it didn't come forth because I think it's not anchored in yet. I had a job interview recently, and it's a very interesting opportunity, and I would like to do it. And I felt very messy, very anxious, like first day of kindergarten kind of things. It's been a while since I interviewed for something other than acting. So one of the questions was, have you done X? And X was the thing that they are hiring me for. And the answer is no, I have not done X. However, I have this giant sort of cornucopia of equivalent experience that I feel like makes me a great match for X. But I, in the moment, I was deer in the headlights and I answered the best I could. And then I decided to write a little thank you note the day after and include a detail or two that I like was too nervous to say. So I need the reminder of like what is that language? Because you've said it in here before, like something like, I'm gonna not leave you better than I found you, but like, how would I, when the next time it comes up, and the answer is no, I haven't done it, and like, yes, I am, and I have done blah blah blah. Like, what's a nice way to present that in an interview situation?
Yeah, good question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're asking you if you have done this thing.
Yep.
So the answer to the question is no, not specifically.
Not specifically. Oh, and I have so much mindset work to do around whatever that is, embarrassment, shame, less than. That's immediately where I went because the answer was no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about interviews.
Okay.
And this is good for everybody.
Okay.
Interviews aren't tests.
Oh gosh. Wow.
Feels like that.
Yes.
Because the reason it feels like that is because we do 12 or more years of school.
Okay.
School is very, very limited. School is very limited in the amount of experiences it gives us.
Okay.
We get test experiences. Sometimes we get standing in front of the class and having to say something experience. It's a very limited thing.
Yeah.
And so when we're like spit out into adulthood, it's like, oh God, this feels like, what does it feel like? Oh, tests. But it's not a test.
Wow. What
It's
is it? What's the nicer way to see it or the truer way to see it?
Well, the true way to see it without the power imbalance
Yes.
is we're just sniffing each other out. I'm seeing if I like you just as much as you're seeing if you like me, and if I like the
Oh.
vibe of this thing and what you're offering and what it's like a negotiation and a sniff around. It's like a dog park experience.
Oh my gosh, it's a dog park. I mean, that would have helped me. Go ahead.
Right. It's just this dog park. It's just like, do I like you? Do you like me? Are we going to be friends?
Oh man. Okay.
However, the reason we slide into, ooh, this feels like a test is because of the power imbalance, meaning they
Yeah.
have something we want. They are the gatekeepers to the next level of getting the thing we want.
Yeah. Very, very true. If this person says yes, then I move forward with them. If she says no, thank you, then I don't. It's very clear power differential.
There is a power differential. However, that's where mindset comes in.
Yeah, okay.
Because based on the stories we tell ourselves, we can make it much more dog park.
Oh, okay.
And part of the way that happens is you tell yourself the story of, like, well, if I don't get this job, I'll get another job. Like,
Oh
not
boy.
the end of my world.
No, it's not. And because I've been working so diligently on creating cash flow, it feels like such a beautiful, shiny carrot that I'm a little drooly. I feel like I was wiping some drool off my face during
Yeah.
the interview. Yeah,
I can
energetically.
succeed. I mean, there's so this, I'm not saying that interviews aren't really awkward
Yeah.
situations. They are. We can slip so easily into, I want the gold star. I want them to like me. I want to get the job so I never have to look for another job. I want to get this job so I can report back to everybody that I got the gold star. I want to be wanted. I want, it just taps into the
God.
whole thing. So
That
it,
helped me to have you remind me of that. I thought it was just, yeah, I don't know what I thought. I thought it was something smaller than that. Yeah.
so it takes quite a bit of mental preparedness
Boy.
on your part to decide, okay, what is this experience going to be for me?
Oh
Number
boy.
one, I like to start with whether or not I get this job, whether or not whatever happens in this room meaning, the interview,
Yeah.
is presenting me with an opportunity to build some stronger muscles.
Okay,
Because
yeah.
the thing you can get out of every single interview, whether or not it's the job, it's exiting stronger. So
I
that's
felt that.
what, sorry.
I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
What I said was I did. I felt that, like, even
Yeah.
after the interview was done, and I was like, oh, that might have been a hot mess. I still felt stronger. I was like, wow, I just did that thing. Like, there was this
Yeah.
an unexpected boost in confidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you tell yourself, okay, I want to do this in there, and I want to do that. Like, I want to, take my time with the questions. I want to keep reminding myself that this is not a test. I want to try as much as possible to be myself and, let my humor out a little bit or whatever, let my
Yeah.
personality out. And if I meet those low criteria, it's a success because I will be stronger. I'm deciding, irrespective of the job and the people who are going to be in the room, what's in it for me in this experience? I'm separating myself from these people rather than going in and being like, please like me, and I'm a man, and like, oh my God, now I'm just in you, and whatever your feelings are about me or what the vibe is, I'm just like totally vibe. I'm like, no. I'm in here to get stronger, and this is the thing I'm going to do to get it, and maybe I'll get a job out of it as well. Okay, so then this is you. It's not for them. So that helps a little with the power differential.
Yeah.
Another one is like, oh, my job answering these questions shift their perspective. That's what I'm here to, that's my agenda versus the agenda of jazz hands, so they like me. Oh, I hope they like me. I hope correctly and be whoever they want me to be. A lot of people's
Oh,
agenda
yeah.
is like, I got to figure out who they want me to be and then try.
Yeah.
It's
Oh,
like,
it feels
no.
awful.
My agenda is to go in and with my answers to their questions, not everyone, every question, some questions I'll just answer, but then I'll come across a question like, did you ever do X before? Where it's like, aha, aha. They think they want someone who has done X before, but I'm here to shift their perspective of why it might be great to hire me who hasn't done exactly that before, but who's this and this and this and knows how to apply all of that to that.
Thank you. 'Cause of course, in an interview they ask you questions hilariously, again, because it's been so long, I kind of forgot that the real point of the interview was for them to ask me questions. I thought it was kind of just like a conversation.
Right. And if they start asking you questions, you're like, oh God, what am I doing wrong? Like they're asking me questions. Like,
Yeah,
No.
it was a like I felt like a stress interview. It wasn't meant that way. It was just I was so, my muscles were so asleep around interviews that it felt very stressful to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Karen Eileen, have you ever been on the other side of the table? Have you ever interviewed someone for a job or
Yes.
cast people in something?
Yes, I used to work as a casting director, believe it or not, in voiceover. So I have been on that other side of the table, and I have watched people like sweat and, wipe their lip and have their hands shake and all of that. I've watched
Well,
all
let me
that.
ask you something. And this is for everyone. So everyone who's been on the other side of a table where you're doing the evaluation, have you ever asked a question or had someone like do something, but you weren't actually interested in the answer to the question. You just wanted to see how they thought, or you just wanted to see
Oh.
if they could answer the question without exploding or sweating. You know, that
Yeah.
you just wanted to see
Yes.
how they were
Yeah.
under pressure. You, it's like
Yeah.
you were actually looking for something that wasn't directly about what you were asking.
Yes, the answer for me is yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So you have to remind yourself, is
Ugh.
like every question isn't about the question. Sometimes it's just about not even your answer, but how you answer. When I interview for assistance, my questions. I'm actually not interested in their answer. I'm interested in seeing how they answer and how their I want to find out how their brain works. And I don't care what the answer is, but I want to see if they can connect the dots of a thought problem or like how did you get to that answer?
Oh,
Or
gosh, yeah.
how quickly can you articulate something on the spot? Like just I'm looking for all sorts of skills.
Yeah. Boy, that's a great reminder. I'm gonna have to just practice being nice to myself because what I really want as I'm here in the Zoom with you and everybody is I want a do-over. And I don't get
Yeah.
one. I did the best I could for
Oh
my
my God.
first
If
time.
auditioning didn't teach you anything, that's what it teaches you. It's like you just constantly want do-overs.
I have to, I'm having, it's better now, but like it took me like a full day to let it go. Just
And here's the thing, just like with auditioning,
yes.
we're having job interviews day after day after day after day. It would be easier to let them go.
That is correct, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm very new. I need so much grace because literally, I can't. I think like 2009 was my last interview. How many years ago is that? Like,
Yeah, long time.
hi, wow, that's almost 20 years. Wow. Okay,
Yeah.
it's been a minute. Yeah.
Just remember your first auditions. It was
Oh
like,
yeah.
this audition is the most important thing in my life.
Oh, yes, I used to cry over. The joke was I used to cry over like oatmeal, meaning like when I was pinned for an oatmeal commercial and it was down to me and another person and they didn't choose me for the oatmeal. I was in bed for 2 days, like sobbing my face off. It was very important, the oatmeal.
So it's this the purpose of that job interview was just to get you back in the game.
Oh man. Okay.
And it did.
It did.
The
Yeah.
best way to tell you, I don't know if this is true or not, but this is a really good story to tell yourself. Oh, I was not supposed to get that job. Like that job was a nightmare job. And that the universe just threw that one my way so I could get all the guh-guh-guh out of my system and do it right.
I love that because
Right.
I was very
Good.
clear with the universe that I only wanted to get it if it was going to be like a joyful, beautiful experience where I could be of service. That's the deal.
Yeah. Well, why, if the universe was kind of benevolent, would it give you the best job as the very your first one back out?
I don't know.
It was warming you up.
Okay.
Like
Oh, I see.
we've got
Oh,
a
I
good
see what
one.
you're saying.
We
I
got a
got
good one coming, so we'll give you a couple
you. Okay.
to just practice with and then.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. No, this is a very
Yeah.
good refresher. I need a little like a little mind implant from the
Yeah.
from today.
It's just like doing a, you know, when you work with someone who's doing a self-tape and they'll be like,
Yeah.
oh, let's just do one. Or even on set, let's just do
Let's
one
just
to
do one. Yeah.
have those out and then we'll get started. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. I'm gonna find this portion of the Zoom and like edit it and run it on a
Yeah.
loop so I can refresh my brain often. Thank you.
Yeah. But you're back in the game.
Yeah, I
And
am.
what's most important is you go get another job interview.
Okay, got that. Heard. Understand the assignment.
Cool.
Okay.
Did you look into the Orlando, like the Disney stuff?
A little bit. It is, there's nothing like that. I don't know if they have a freeze. There's nothing that doesn't require like significantly more education than I have, like a higher level of degree. I have a bachelor's. So there's nothing at the moment, but I could look more often, quite honestly. So that can be something that I do.
Yeah, just put it on your calendar. I do that. I pop in
Yeah.
when it's marked on my calendar and check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great reminder. Thank you. Yeah.
You can also think about connecting to people who work at Disney or people who are in the HR chain at Disney through LinkedIn and
Okay.
just kind of let them know who you are and that you know what your thoughts are about how you might fit in if something, you know, just kind of have a little bit of a relationship.
Okay. I feel like I'm sort of like a little teeny baby girl at LinkedIn. It's mostly been about the acting and voiceover and coaching stuff. So in terms of other kinds of work, like I don't know if I need to start a whole new page. I'm not sure what to do there. I feel like a little, I can bring that to
Or you could just look up who the players are and get to know them on paper without doing anything to start.
I got you. Okay. That's a really good
It's okay.
suggestion.
Yeah, it's okay if your profile is more geared toward acting or art.
Okay.
Don't let that be
They were
a
all actors at one point too.
Very
Right?
possibly. Yes. No, that's great. These are great. And they feel gentle. Like the thing that has overwhelmed me a lot in terms of my creating cash flow journey has been like so many steps feel monumental to me just because I haven't done them in a long time. And so, gently, kindly trolling around on LinkedIn and kindly stalking some of the HR people from Disney sounds peaceful. So,
Yeah.
yeah, it's a good thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks, guys. Good sesh. Okay, we're back in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. Talk about money again. Yay. Hi, Sheila. Good to see everybody. Hi, Ash.
Thank you. Thank you,
Yeah.
Christine. Thank you, Kate. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks,
Bye. Thank
everybody.
you, Christine
Bye.
and Kate. Thanks.